What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Into the 2 o'clock hour here on the McFarland Energy Baseball Isn't Boring Show, broadcasting live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios. The Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. Back here with the gentleman from the Play Testing Podcast, the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI and Odyssey. That's Gordo, Sammy, and Pat, as well as our guy Joe Braverman, who's back behind the glass here. We got Jacob Lasner back in our Brighton studios producing as well. Make sure you follow along with their podcast at Playtesty on social media, as well as at BB Isn't Boring, to follow Bradfo's fantastic program. We continue on with our conversation on the Boston Red Sox winners in walk-off fashion yesterday against the Tampa Bay Rays. They've won the first two games, game three this afternoon at 4:10. It's a crochet day for the Red Sox. It is a Seidon Rafaela at second base day for the Red Sox. And unfortunately, it's a day where Hunter Dobbins returns to the injured list and unfortunately will no longer be a factor for the Red Sox in 2025. Your heart breaks for the kid. For returning from injury, you could tell in that start against San Francisco where he walked five and gave up four. Something was up. He goes to the injured list, comes back, makes a rehab start and does tremendously well in Portland, and comes back. And unfortunately, it's something about the first base bag at Fenway Park this year. It's Tristan Casas. It's Alex Bregman almost twice yesterday, if you watch the way he went into first on that one play. And now it's Hunter Dobbins. And your heart breaks for the kid.
And Nick Birdie.
Oh, and Nick Birdie. That's right. I mean, my goodness. I don't know if they need to do a seance on this thing or whatever.
Yeah, Romy,
but,
right? Because, well, Romy, didn't he collide with someone? It wasn't like he slipped on the bag.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Romy.
Just pull a Kyrie. Just walk out there with some sage. Just,
yeah.
Do circles around.
Right, exactly. There's something's not right. Like when they had to dig up the Ortiz jersey from Yankee Stadium. But there's just something energy-wise is off. But Hunter Dobbins goes down, and my heart breaks for the kid and the fact that he's now going to go through a pretty extensive rehab to try to get himself back.
Yeah, he had such a promising start to his career. He was throwing the ball so well. Came back from the elbow injury, which obviously when a guy goes down with an elbow thing and hits the injured list, like you fear the worst. And it was great that it wasn't that bad, and he really missed not much time at all. And you know, he came back, and you were excited for the guy, and he was having such a good rookie season. You just feel awful because you know how hard he worked to get to the majors. You know how hard he worked to get back after the injury. And ACL tear is obviously no joke, and you know he's going to have a long road back, not going to be a factor this year. But hopefully right around the start of next year, he can come back stronger and continue on the path that he was on, because he'd really cemented himself as a legitimate arm on this pitching staff.
Yeah, and he's a guy that I think we all expected, if he's not in the playoff rotation, if the Red Sox make the playoffs, then he'd be a guy who would come out of the bullpen, a weapon they could use. And yeah, it stinks to see. On a personal level, Dobbins, the times we've interacted with him, just such a nice guy. I think people might have gotten the wrong idea with the trash talking with the Yankees. I don't think he's a trash talker. I think he just talked trash that one time, and I loved it. He's an honest guy. He gets it, too. He gets what it means to play in Boston. We were talking about that off the record. He's he's just a good guy. You never like seeing anyone get hurt, but especially him. And we're all going to be rooting for him. It's going to be a great comeback story whenever that is.
Yeah, it stinks that he won't be – if they make the playoffs, it stinks that he won't be there because he's the exact kind of competitor that I think would just be so unfazed by a postseason atmosphere. Like,
yeah.
I would have, like, very little qualms about him coming in and a leverage situation or a fireman situation. And like they were saying, like, he's just a great guy, and it stinks to see him go down. But
To see the way that he handled the pressure of pitching at Yankee Stadium after that story blew up, it was almost kind of a man-made test of, all right, what's this kid's mettle like? What's he capable of in a high-pressure spot? But it furthers the conversation, guys, of where does this team go at the trade deadline? Craig Breslow earlier this week talking about the idea of picking a lane at the trade deadline. We still have to understand what happens over the next 3 weeks, but that is how we're approaching this deadline. We want to improve the team. We want to find ways to bolster this group. The play on the field exemplifies that. We've obviously put ourselves in a pretty good spot here with the way that we've been playing over the last few weeks and have reason to believe that we can continue that. So, as we look at the picture of the 2025 Red Sox, the area that you think deserves the most attention at the trade deadline on this roster is where?
You know, I think I'm ready to shift. I'm ready to say that it needs to be the top of the rotation. Not the literal top of the rotation, but a number two, a co-anchor along with Garrett Crochet, long-term thing, not a rental. And I think Breslow has the right mindset and knows that that's what he needs. He was talking with Bradfo on Baseball Isn't Boring. You can find that episode on the feed. He talked about how, yeah, we're not just looking, and obviously this was before Dobbins went down, but I'd like to think the mindset is the same. They're not going to look for a guy who just can make starts. Like last year, their rotation was hanging on by a thread. They just needed a guy to come in and make starts. That's why they shot low with James Paxton, and obviously he didn't pitch very long for them, but that's why they targeted a guy like that. This time around, they've got the depth. They've got, even beyond Dobbins, they've got plenty of options. Like you've got Richard Fitz ready to come up, and that's what's happening. You've got Tanner Houck, who's ready to come back. You've got
Harrison
Sandoval. You've got Harrison. Like you've got multiple guys ready to go. You need a guy who you know can be the number two of a playoff rotation. Like obviously Giolito and Bayo have pitched like that. You need a guy that you know is going to be like that at the end of the year in the postseason. And it sounds like Craig Breslow knows that that's what he needs. It sounds like they're not going to target some guy on the low end of the pitching market. It's going to be shoot high or don't shoot at all. And I hope that's what he does there. I'd like to see them add a bat too. I'd like to see them add a first baseman and make the platoon Meyer and Romy at second base and then full-time first baseman. But I'm on board at this point. The offense has shown me enough. That number two starting pitching spot is the most important. That's what they need to address.
Yeah, and I think you could talk yourself into the offense a little bit easier than you can the rotation in terms of a playoff team because you have so much talent. It's young talent, but up and down the lineup, you can point to guys like Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Carlos Narvaez, guys who will take a step and produce as they go along. With the rotation, it's a little more scary when it comes to pitchers. Love Crochet in game one. Game two right now, who is it? Giolito, Bayo. I think I'd feel good about Giolito. Bayo, he's been really good lately, but I think you're lying if you're like, I feel great about him going game two or game three.
There's a mental question there.
Right.
I think just flat out, there's a question of how does he handle playoff pressure?
Absolutely. Is he capable?
Yeah.
Sure. Are you super confident that he's going to get to the level he needs to be at for that playoff game if they get there?
Also, there's the matter of if the playoffs started tomorrow, I think you'd feel good about both of them, but it's can they be who they are today in July, come September, October? Like, that's an
right.
if.
Right, right. And that's why you don't need, and we talk about, yeah, add pitching. Don't just add pitching. You need to add a guy who you can identify as someone who you feel good about in a playoff scenario. And I think that's a pretty significant, like by a good margin, the most important thing that this Red Sox team needs as they move ahead.
Yeah, I think, and I'm glad we're on the same page now. For 2 months, I've been saying the biggest need was the starting rotation.
It's true. You were the only one. Sammy had it. Had bullpen. I had offense.
Yeah, and like they're saying is like, yeah, Giolito and Bayo look awesome right now. And then obviously, you know, Crochet is Crochet. But Giolito is coming off of a major surgery. What does he look like a month from now? Bayo is very streaky, and we haven't really seen how he goes through a good stretch and then deals with a bad game. Does he bounce right back? Does he let it dwell and like just kind of fall apart, fall off the rails? We don't know. And what you need to do here at the deadline is go get a guy who you can confidently say this guy is going to start game two in a series, whether it be a Joe Ryan, a Sandy Alcantara, even if it's a rental just for this year and you kind of push it down the line to the offseason, like a Merrill Kelly or something like that. But you need someone where you can like have faith in them in game two of a series.
And I want Joe Ryan. Have that.
Oh, everyone does.
I'll tell you, we talk about this outfield surplus and how the Red Sox are probably going to have to find an avenue to trading a really high-level controllable outfielder. This is why you should be shooting for the stars with not just a guy as good as Joe Ryan, but he's got 2.5 years of control left. Like those guys, like that's going to cost the Crochet-type package. Crochet was 2 years. Joe Ryan's 2.5 years. Obviously, Crochet's got a once-in-a-long-time arm, and Joe Ryan maybe doesn't throw the ball quite the same as Crochet, but the results are sure.
He's got more of a track record too. Crochet, there are a lot of people were saying, and another thing that sounds crazy in hindsight, but a lot of people were like, can this guy be a starter? He's only for half a season, 3.5 ERA.
He's never pitched a full season.
Right. And now we're like, oh my God, Crochet's pitching. Whew.
Thank God. Yeah. Goodness, yeah. But when you're trading a guy, like let's say Jaron Duran, if you trade Jaron Duran, like it's not going to, like, I see people talking about Dylan Cease and Michael King. No, you're not trading Jaron Duran for a rental. And if you're trading Jaron Duran and getting a controllable guy back, like you're not going to trade Jaron Duran and get 3 years of a number four starter. No, like you're going to trade. And if you have to trade a little bit more, make it a three-team format. Like I did something like that on our last episode where I had Duran going to the Padres sending Ethan Salas, one of their top prospects, to the Twins. And the Red Sox sending some other stuff to the Twins to find a way to get Joe Ryan. Like, you have to find a way to get a guy. And Joe Ryan is a guy.
What else fits in a potential, if you're playing armchair GM and trying to get Joe Ryan in a package that begins with Jaron Duran, are there other names that come to mind from the Red Sox system that you may be including in that kind of deal?
Franklin Arias.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if I'm the Twins, I'm asking for the best the Red Sox have, and I think the best the Red Sox have is Peyton Tolley, but on the offensive side, Pat, yeah, you're right, it's Franklin Arias. But hopefully if you're giving up Duran, probably to a third party, probably not to the Twins, but if you're doing that, hopefully another one of the co-anchors of that package going to the Twins comes from that third team, whoever it may be.
Are you interested? I saw this floating around where the Red Sox may have to try to take money back. I wouldn't say Correa in that, but would you be interested in a Christian Vasquez reunion? I saw that floating around on Twitter as well.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. I mean, the backup catcher position hasn't been much for the Red Sox, and you just offloaded Rafael Devers. You got plenty of space.
Yeah, and he's on the books for, I think, $4 million the rest of this year, I believe.
Yeah. And then a free agent.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Why not? It's a solid veteran. Also worth noting, won a World Series in Houston with Alex Bregman. So reuniting them, having some actual like other veterans in there on a young team, absolutely. Why not? If it increases your chances of getting Joe Ryan, I'll pick Christian Vasquez up from Logan myself.
Do they have other bad salary? I'm trying to think.
Correa is a rough one.
Yeah.
It's stuff you wouldn't want to take on. You would look elsewhere. Yeah, like Correa, you're not going to. It just doesn't really.
I mean, you don't have room.
I think if the Red Sox are, if they're not involving a third team, I think the Twins are going to ask for Marcelo Meyer. I don't think they're going to take Franklin Arias, like 19-year-old kid in single A. I think they're going to want Marcelo, at which point I
hang up the phone.
Yeah, I can't do that.
What about Christian Campbell?
No. I can't. Nah. Because there's
not the right time to trade him. I will give you that.
There's other ways to get a starting pitcher. And Joe Ryan's really good, but he's not Garrett Crochet.
Right.
He's very good and. You know, it would be great if the Red Sox got him. I also don't think the Twins want Jaron Duran. There's not much of a fit there roster-wise. And they have other needs. They don't have the greatest farm either. So maybe, I think Tolley, if they're not getting Marcelo Meyer or Roman Anthony or Christian Campbell, I think Tolley's going to be the guy they want. But if you go with Tolley, it's going to be like Tolley plus Password plus Arias plus like Fitz too.
That's why you got to involve the third party.
Right. If you want Joe Ryan, I think you almost definitely need a third team involved.
Okay, 617-779-7937 to join the conversation. What would you do with the trade deadline if you're Craig Breslow and the Boston Red Sox? I'm a little surprised that none of you guys really broached the idea of adding to the bullpen. And I understand that it's been a pretty strong group, and I mean, they put together a tremendous performance behind Alcala and the couple runs he gave up yesterday. But the way that the Red Sox manage their bullpen, in that the flavor of the month is going to pitch, you know, 14, 15, 16 in the case of Bernardino's time, or a couple months ago. You lost Slayton to that. Greg Weissert seems like he is very much being sheltered in recent games after pitching a ton. They did the same thing with Bernardino after the extremely heavy usage in the month of May. I worry about the way that they deploy the back end of their bullpen. And I would definitely be at least calling a notable former trade partner in a team like the Pirates to see, is a Dennis Santana available? What would David Bednar possibly cost? Could you put something together and make that happen? It's not necessarily that the Red Sox don't have the arms in the bullpen, and I'm intrigued to see what Jordan Hicks can do and if there is something with Alcala. He was pretty damn good for them, but before the appearance he had yesterday, but it's more the way that Andrew Bailey and Alex Cora go through the deployment of it that makes me go, I'd love to have another arm or two back there just as an insurance policy in case some of these guys can't bounce back.
Yeah, I think if you're a contender at the deadline, you're always going to be looking to add another bullpen arm. With the Red Sox, I mean, I talked about it earlier in the show about there not being an arm in the bullpen that you don't trust. Like, Aroldis Chapman, .22 ERA, hasn't allowed an earned run since May.
Yeah.
Whitlock, scoreless in 12 of his last 14. Jordan Hicks, obviously, they want to be like the setup man of this team, throw over 100 miles an hour. They have high hopes for him. Justin Wilson, mid-2 ERA. Chris Murphy hasn't allowed an earned run in 7 2/3 since he got back. Bernardino, 8 straight scoreless innings, 3.49 ERA for the year. Jorge Alcala, another trade acquisition that they've already made, 0.87 ERA in his 11 games with the Red Sox. Obviously, you know, he allowed the runs yesterday. They were unearned, but he's been a pleasant surprise. And Greg Weissert obviously dominated the first part of the year. Even now, he's at a 3.27. So there's no obvious arm that you want to remove from the bullpen, which is why, to me, it's a little bit less pressing of a matter. But obviously, you're one injury away, one guy burning out away from wishing that you did that. But at the same time, it's like you've got Tanner Houck coming back. If there's no open spot in the rotation, how can he look as a reliever? I think originally Hunter Dobbins, I mean, he probably was going to be in the rotation, but he would have been a really interesting candidate for a bullpen job because of his velocity. He really, I think, as a reliever, would have been a weapon for this team had they deployed him in that role. But they've got some starters they could use out of that role. I do think, though, they should be calling teams to try to add. I think it might be a little bit less pressing than the other two spots. But again, every contender every year should always be looking to add to the bullpen.
Yeah, well said, Gordo. I think a way you could look at it is the Red Sox have a good bullpen group, but I don't love the depth behind them, if that makes sense. So if they could add, ideally you get someone with closing experience. This is something I've spoken about a few times on air and on Play Tessie, is I would love if they got someone with closing experience, who I guess you could point to Jordan Hicks, he has a little bit of it, but someone with more closing experience so that if 2, 3, 4, 5 are coming up in the eighth inning, you can go, Aroldis, we need you to face the toughest pocket.
Right, which we've seen them do.
Yes. But then you're kind of like, okay, who closes it out now? So the second part of that equation, if I could feel a teeny bit better about that, I think that would go a long way. And it doesn't need to be a superstar like Mason Miller from the A's. It could be like Finnegan from the Nationals, who, you know, he makes you better. He's closed before. He's not the best, but you can feel okay about him taking that role on if Chapman has to pitch the seventh or eighth because that's when Aaron Judge is up. Something like that.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is like we were talking about, is when Houck comes back, what does he look like? And I think they'll probably put him in the bullpen, like under the guise, like keep him healthy the rest of the season kind of thing. But if you can have Houck out there and a healthy Murph out there, that's a lot of innings for that bullpen. And it's not necessarily adding a leverage arm, but it's allowing you to deploy them a little more sparingly than as religiously as they have been in the seventh, eighth, ninth. Like it helps break it up and gives guys more than just one day off. So I think adding Houck or whoever else, whether it be Harrison down the line, someone else with Murph to go multiple innings, it kind of helps you take the foot off the gas on the guys like Weissert and Chapman and Wilson and all those guys.
This is nothing more than an opinion on Houck real quick. Do you guys have expectations for him being part, maybe not in 2025, but being part of this rotation moving forward?
No.
Okay. Not, at least not this year.
Yeah.
I think things change going into future years, but right now I feel like you can't count on anything.
Well, what do you mean? Do you mean, do I think he'll be a good rotation piece, or do I think they'll try him in the rotation? Because I think they're going to try him in the rotation.
Yeah.
But my faith in him is...
Let's say opening day 2026, is he in the rotation?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he's
I like think that's interesting.
Depth guy. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird because
he's such a difficult – it's so hard to predict with him.
Because the rotation's kind of a little different from the bullpen in that I feel really good about Crochet, but I'm more into like the depth of the rotation where we just talked about how they don't really have a number two starter. So I hope this doesn't happen, but my biggest fear is that they're like – we think we can get Hauk to recapture that 2024 first half, and he's the number two starter, so therefore we're not going to go get one for 2026. Ah, that would make me very upset. So I think he'll contribute. If it were up to me, I'd say maybe try him out in the bullpen, have him give you 2-3 innings at a time.
Yeah.
That's a weapon.
But yeah, that's the thing is like if Hauk can, and we've seen Hauk out of the bullpen have success.
First time through, he's recently. Good as well. When he's in the lineup for the first time, he's much better. That was
in the right pockets too. Like you can target him against right-handers. Like obviously part of his struggles this year is he hasn't been able to figure out how to get lefties out in the way that he did last year. And then another thing with the bullpen that we haven't talked about at all yet is Justin Slayton.
Yeah.
Like would it surprise anyone if he didn't throw another pitch for the Red Sox this year? I don't think it would surprise anybody. They've been really coy about what his recovery timeline is. He's on the 60-day, not eligible to come back until the end of July. Doesn't sound like even that is on the table. So we'll see if he's going to come back for the team this year. But if he does, like that's a guy
that's
who
huge.
Going
that's
into the season, like a lot of us were talking about maybe him being the closer. And he certainly pitched that like that in the first part of the year. So if you can get that guy back, there's another weapon for
him. I mean, I heard the word setback floated with him. Cora denied it, but anytime you hear the word setback, just talk about vibes. Ooh, bad vibes.
And that was after playing catch, right? Like
that wasn't off a mound. Yeah.
Which was the big update. Though, like he played catch.
Right.
Which means you're not that close.
Right.
And then he stopped. He played catch and then he stopped playing catch. That's not good.
Because what? It goes playing catch, then it's long toss, then it's bullpen, then it's rehab, then it's... So he's...
Ugh. Right. And Cora...
Same game, then rehab.
This is killing the good vibe.
But it's like, it's crazy because last year, right after the All-Star break, like all of their back end arms went down and then you went to Colorado and Jansen couldn't make the trip and you felt it. But with this team, for whatever reason, like Justin Slayton went down And you knew it wasn't going to take long for you to feel it. You never really felt it. Like everyone has stepped up.
Shocking. Shocking.
Yeah, seriously.
That's shocking. I thought all offseason I was saying the bullpen's not that good. The bullpen's going to be an issue. Happily wrong about that one. And even more surprised. Right when Slayton went down, I was like, well, I don't want to say I was right, but now it's going to really be an issue. And it hasn't been. So, whoopsie.
All right, 617-779-7937. Plenty more Red Sox talk coming up here on the Baseball Isn't Boring program. Live from the studio at Fenway Park, we're talking trade possibilities. We're talking good vibes after a walk-off victory. All that and more coming up next, but first here is Jacob Latt.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference.
According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
With what's trending. A lot of moving parts here on the McFarland Energy Baseball Isn't Boring Show, broadcasting live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios. Brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. Back here live at Fenway Park, 617-779-7937. We have a, let's just say, something special coming up in our next segment, but we'll get to that in just a couple of moments. First, let's give him another try. Matt is in Rhode Island. Good afternoon, Matt. How are you?
Hey, guys. Sorry, I'm deep in the woods. I got cut off a couple times, and my bad.
That's okay. What's up?
So, Cidán Raphael, we saw like flashes last year, right, where I think it was first or second rookies, RBIs, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Saw the home run in Yankee Stadium, you know, coming up in big spots. Saw him good at shortstop, playing above average shortstop. We're talking about defense up the middle. You're playing shortstop above grade.
Well,
obviously, I heard you guys talking about moving to second. Like, normally I would agree, but this guy's just built a little different. You hear him on the interviews from the DR, so humble. He's just a baseball player. He's a 5-2 player now, and couldn't be happier to watch this guy's ascent. Thanks.
All right, Matt. Thank you for the call. Go ahead.
It's just fascinating, like, when a guy starts hitting, how the conversation can change around him. Because, like, to me, utility players are so valuable to a team. Every team needs to have one or two of those guys that can just play all across the diamond, especially coming off the bench. But when you got a guy like Cidán who's hitting the way he's hitting, you just don't think about those guys as utility guys. It was the same thing with Christian Campbell when he was up in April and playing as well as he was to start the season. It's like, why are you moving this guy around? He's supposed to be one of your staples. Like when Raffaello wasn't hitting, I was thinking, okay, this is a guy you move around the diamond. That's how he can give your team value. No, with him right now, the way he's playing, he's giving you value at the plate, in center field, on the bases. Like, I would have kept it that way. I don't think it's the end of the world that they're playing him at second, but I just, it's not something I would have done.
Right, and I get what our friend in Rhode Island is saying. And my contention, it's not that I don't think Cidán is capable of playing at second base here and there, or shortstop, or third, or right. It's just that his best value is in center field. I feel like it's pretty cut and dry when it comes to that. So, yeah, just not what I would have done.
617-779-7937 as we roll on here on the McFarland Energy Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Our own Rob Bradford, who we are filling in for today collectively, got the chance to chat with Craig Breslow. The full conversation with Brez is on the podcast feed right now, but we have a snippet of his conversation with Craig Breslow. Here is that right now.
When you talk about starting pitching, ideally, would it be someone the level of someone who could pitch in a postseason game?
Yeah, I think so. First of all, running out of pitching can be so destabilizing, right? Like, there's this residual effect on the rest of the staff, on the bullpen. And then also, like, we feel really good about the starting pitching that we have. And, you know, obviously Garrett's pitched like an ace all season long. And, you know, over the last month or so, Gio's been dominant. And Bayo, actually, if you go back to, like, last All-Star break, has been a really good pitcher. And Buehler's last two out, we know we're starting to see what he's capable of doing. And, you know, whether it's Fitz or Dobbins or, you know, Houck getting healthy or Harrison, who's working on some things in AAA, like, we're not just looking for bodies that we can call starting pitchers, right? Like, if we're going to bring somebody in, they need to really move the needle for us. And so that's, you know, I think where we'll have our sights set. But it's really hard to find
that's the hard
impact starting pitching.
Is it the hardest, you think?
Yeah.
Okay, comments from Craig Breslow, and that's kind of suggesting exactly what you guys were breaking down in the last segment. It's not just a guy with team control who's going to fill out the bottom of a rotation. It's an impact. It's an impact arm that the Red Sox are going to be targeting. That has to be music to the ears of a lot of fans.
Yeah, and he's right. It is going to be the hardest, especially midseason, to acquire. Like last year, the White Sox were dangling Crochet, and because they wanted to maximize the amount of suitors in on him, they waited to the offseason, and that's like the Red Sox would not have been in on Garrett Crochet had they dealt him last trade deadline. Like maybe they inquired, but you wouldn't have seen them part with the package that they did. Obviously, Braden Montgomery would have just been drafted that month. So you don't usually see controllable high level starting pitchers get dealt this time of year. It's not impossible, and it's what they should be targeting. But it is important to set the expectations. Like, there's a great possibility that a deal just doesn't come to fruition. And to me, I almost would rather see them just get a bullpen guy instead of just getting a four or a five, another guy for the bottom of the rotation. Like, I just don't think they need that right now. And if a trade for a high level number two starter doesn't come to be, like, just use your assets elsewhere for something else you need.
Yeah, I think the worst thing is to do nothing. To stand pat, aside from the Devers trade. I don't know if you guys know Rafael Devers got traded.
Ooh, boy.
But aside,
Will Clark had a couple things to say about that.
Never heard of the guy. But yeah, the worst thing you could do is stand pat. I even think I'd rather, I don't know if I've ever said this before, a little bit of a buy-sell where you're moving pieces around and at least a little looking towards 2026, at the very least. So, but hopefully it doesn't come to that.
It's funny because doesn't it feel like now that they're winning and they're a good baseball team, Craig's not giving such dry, robotic answers. Like before he's like, oh yeah, we need someone to, pitch innings, we're going to see what we look like. And then now he's like, yeah, we're going to try and get a co-ace. We need a bat. It's just funny how his demeanor in interviews and talking about kind of his thought processes and what he plans to do has completely flipped. Now he's we need ABC. Before it was we'll see. We're comfortable with depth. We want to add depth. It's just a total 180 in his demeanor on how he's approaching things. Yes.
There's direction.
Exactly. Yes.
And not only is there a change in demeanor, there's also been an increase and an uptick on the availability and the frontward-facing members of the organization. All of a sudden, every Nesson pregame show seemingly has either Craig Breslow or Sam Kennedy out there answering questions. And to your guys' point, giving answers that are actually seemingly having substance in them and actually kind of laying out this is point A, this is point B, and this is how we're going to get there. The change in way that the Red Sox front office has been approaching dealing with the media and interacting with fans in the post Rafael Devers era has been quick, and I think to this point it's been effective. But then again, you have to marry that up with they're saying the right things. Are you then going to do the right things, and are those words and actions going to match up?
No, you're right on, and you're right. It feels like you've seen way more of Craig Breslow in particular talking to everyone who basically wants to talk to him. You can talk to him, and I think it's great. I feel like it gets lost because it's obviously such a business, and it's such a high level, so much money is at stake, and obviously the wins and losses. But I mean, this is for the fans, right? This whole everything here, this game is for the fans. So I think it is important if you're a baseball executive to be front facing and talk to the fans and try to explain your vision. Chaim Bloom got a lot of grief over the years when he was here, but one thing that he always did was he tried his best to explain his vision to the fans. And it's been nice, the last few weeks to see Craig Breslow trying to do a little bit of that. I've been appreciative of it.
Yeah, and Craig's under a lot of pressure too. You mentioned Chaim Bloom. He didn't last long in Boston. So Craig, this is the first kind of, he had his deadline last year, but this is the first one where I think everyone is expecting a legitimate buy, not add, Luis Garcia and whoever, Sims, but get real pieces. So big moment for Craig Breslow, his GM, POBO career, whatever you want to call his title.
Chief Baseball Officer, Sammy, come on.
Sam, he's the GM. I hate all these titles.
Sammy, he's the chief.
He's the only of his kind. The only of his kind in baseball.
Yeah, chief.
Gotta love it.
Thanks, chief. All right, but yeah, we gotta see how he does. He's under a ton of pressure because what happens to these Red Sox GMs, chiefs, whatever. They don't last long. Chiefs. So if he doesn't come through, people are going to start talking. And it sounds crazy because it is, but that's what happens around here.
One phrase that he has not said, and I think this just further exemplifies, sets a direction, and there's some urgency behind it. We have not heard the phrase, be patient. We need to be patient. That has not been said once this year. And I think that speaks volumes because last year it was, oh, like, they're not going to bring up, like, Marcelo was hurt, Roman, whatever. But, like, they weren't going to bring anyone up. They're going to rush guys up. He wouldn't commit to anything at the deadline. Like, we got to be patient. We got to see what things look. That's out the window. He wants to win, and I think it's great. And like you said, it's nice now that they're, like, front-facing towards the fans. It's not some once-a-month media availability like they're doing the Nesson pregame. They're on the field. We see them on the field all the time pregame. They're out and about, and I think it's just – it's good to see after a while.
It's refreshing because baseball fans in this area are not stupid individuals. And one of the major bones to pick I have with the front office is yes, the actions that they did, trading away, you know, notable names and familiar faces and stars and cutting salary and whatever. That was brutal. But at the same time, we were being told they're going full throttle. They're still going all in. We still want to field a competitive team, a team that makes the playoff, a team that wins the World Series. If they were honest and frontward facing with their message of, listen, we're going to restock the cupboards and it may be, you know, wild card or bust versus World Series or bust in recent years, fans wouldn't have liked it, but they at least would have appreciated the fact that they weren't being openly lied to and, you know, talked down to by those that were making the decision. So I just appreciate the fact that it seems like there is some honesty, there is some legitimate interest in adding to this team, and we'll certainly see if that ends up being translated into words. 617-779-7937 is the number. I'll put it this way. If you are tied into Red Sox Twitter and the social media community of the Boston Red Sox, of which these three gentlemen are and a number of Red Sox fans are, you are not going to want to miss what we have coming up next here on the McFarland Energy Baseball.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Pleasant Boring Show. Back on the McFarland Energy Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Don't forget Red Sox pregame coverage coming up at 3:10 this afternoon. Game 3, Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays right here on WEEI. Cooper Boardman, Will Middlebrooks with the call here this afternoon. His Twitter account, or X account, has just over 22,000 followers. His bio simply says, "The Yankees suck." His picture is of notable Red Sox starting pitcher Cutter Crawford. That is because the great, and apparently troll is not a bad word when you're talking to him, Red Sox Twitter personality Cutter is King is joining us here in the studio live at Fenway Park. I guess I'll just call you Cutter. You look just like him. You might as well be a spitting image. Thanks so much for joining us today.
How's it going, guys?
It's great to have you here. I know the Playtesi boys, so they got a couple questions for you. We're not going to reveal too much government information, but fellas, what do you got?
All right, so take us through the genesis of the account. So if you're not familiar with Cutter is King, he is a, and please correct me if I'm wrong, a Red Sox Twitter / X account, and he trolls the Yankees in the funniest way possible. Like Aaron Judge will hit a home run, and he'll call it an unethical home run because the Yankees are up by 5 runs or down by 5 runs, stuff like that. And it gets Yankees fans upset. It makes Red Sox fans laugh. But he does it in an artful way. It's not just yelling into the void. It's funny. It's calculated. So what I want to know, when did you make the account and what was the idea when you started it?
I made the account last year in about April, I think it was.
That's it?
Yeah.
Really?
That's crazy.
I've been on, like, that was account. That was the, like, just my, I had noties on, like, for Gordo, like, things like that. Just news account. Just for noties. And then early last year into the season, I'll see Devers Enjoyer, RIP.
So he's an inspiration for you?
Yeah, for sure. So him, Dom, Bronx Bombers on Twitter. He's Yankee version of me, I guess.
So there's like a subgenre of trolls. And I feel bad saying troll because it sounds derogatory, but you embrace the term troll?
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. So yeah. What was like the first big tweet that blew up that where people really started saying like, yeah, this guy trolls, but like he's also funny?
The first one was probably when John Boy blocked me. John Boy blocked me. That was my first tweet that got over like 1,000 likes. And then once that happened, I was like, yeah, I got to double down on the talking Yanks replies because that's what really got traction on my
Do you know what he blocked you for?
Yeah, he tweeted something about Connor Wong. It was that game when it got delayed and Hauk was pitching. You remember that game last year at Yankee Stadium? And Wong did something and he tweeted something. I was like, just shut up, man. And then he said, you tweet like a bot account, so I'll treat you like a block.
I remember that.
And he blocked me, yep.
That's crazy.
When you're kind of going through what you're going through, do you know like when you craft something, you're like, oh, this is going to go.
This one's a banger.
Is going to like get perfectly just like slide right under the skin.
Yeah.
Do you know ahead of time? You're like.
Yeah, like the other day, I had a tweet about Jason Dominguez. I said he's in his 10th. He's going to miss today's game to participate in his 10th consecutive Rising Stars game. And like when I tweeted, it was like 12. It was like midnight when I tweeted it. And, you know, usually a tweet won't go as big if no one's awake. But once I tweeted that, I was like, yeah, that's going to bang.
Were you a troll before this account? Like, is that kind of your personality? Like, did you grow up this way? Or was it just when you made that account and you had a couple of tweets go off, you're like, oh, wait, I'm kind of good at this?
No, yeah. I've always been a troll. In high school, messing with everyone. Yeah, I've always been. And I've always hated the Yankees, so it's perfect blend.
So aside from being, it seems like you hate the Yankees. We all do. We're all Red Sox fans. But you, like, hate the Yankees. Why? Why? More than being a Red Sox fan, why do you hate them more than most Red Sox fans do?
I'd say growing up around a lot of them, because I'm from Connecticut, from the west side.
Oh,
so I'm near New York. I'm closer to New York than I am to Boston, and I'd say that.
So you're kind of like, it's kind of like a Batman origin story. Like you grew up, you're surrounded by these people, and you're like, God, I'm so angry. If there was something I can do to get revenge, boom, Twitter, Cutter is King. Why Cutter, by the way?
Yeah, that's a good question. Why Cutter?
The first game I came to in a while, like, once I was old enough to drive here myself, come to a game, me and my brother, who's back there, we came to a game, Mookie's return.
Okay.
And Cutter was pitching. Yeah. And me and him both liked him. I was like, yeah, I like his delivery. And then he was on that hot stretch to start the year.
Yeah.
And that was right in the middle of when I made my account. So
do you know what moment that, I'm sure you do, that picture, profile picture with his arms in the air. What's that? What moment is that from?
Willier robbery. It was on Patriots Day last year.
Right, because he's got the thing on.
He had the 40. Sure. Actually, no, it was Jackie Robinson Day because he had the 42 on.
Right.
And Willier robbed that home run from Jose Ramirez.
And I love that.
Yeah, I post it every once in a while.
The video. So the picture that we're talking about, Cutter Crawford, the real Cutter Crawford, not Cutter is King, Cutter Crawford of the Boston Red Sox, in reaction to Willier Abreu making this unbelievable catch, he puts his hands up in the air like he's cheering. It's a great shot. And now I've noticed there's other accounts kind of like,
from all fan bases, not just the Yankees.
It's like not
we've seen Cole is King.
Yes. Yeah. So it's not just Red Sox and Yankees, but it's other Twitter accounts. And this is what's interesting about the internet is these trends catch on. There's other accounts like a random team, the Brewers, will have a player put their hands up in the air and then someone will take a screenshot of it, post it on Twitter, tag you most of the time, Cutter is King, and then it'll be a Mizorowski is king or Yelich is king or just something. And like
the hands have to be in the air though.
Yes.
That's the key.
Yes. What? So how do I frame this question? What does it mean to be a is king account? A king account, I guess you could call it.
I'm the originator. I was the first one.
You def made it up?
Yeah, for sure. First I had Cutter. I think I put Cutter and Joyer at first.
Right.
And that sat overnight. And then the next day I was like, no, it doesn't have a ring to it. And then I put is king, and that caught on. And then I think there was one before Cole is king. He was second. Mm-hmm. But there was one before him. It was Clark is king.
Clark is king. Yeah, the alliteration with Cutter is king, I think that really works.
Yeah.
But that's you referenced Devers Enjoyer. So if you're not familiar with the Red Sox Twitter, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, he was the original kind of funny troll account. And then you followed him, but he left. And now you, I think your account is bigger than his ever was or close. Yeah. It's big. Like you have the, I don't know what
the king of the trolls. That's what he is.
Right. You're the king
of the trolls.
There you go. I like that.
The Cutter is king of the trolls.
King of the trolls. Yeah. I like that. But yeah, I guess is Devers Enjoyer, whoever's behind that account, that's the first person to kind of start this trend. Yes.
For the Red Sox, I'd say. I mean, like Carrabas was always trolling back in the day, but he was never like an anonymous account.
Right.
Where
it weirdly hits differently coming from an anonymous account. I can't explain why.
You can't get mad at the person because you don't have a face to get mad at. But so that kind of like leads perfectly to my next question. I don't even know if I want to know the answer because we see the replies to your tweets.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all Yankee fans and it's all disgusting. What do your DMs look like?
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say that on air.
Do you get like threats? Like,
people DM you? Yeah, in different languages.
Oh,
all
my
different
God.
Things. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's one you can talk about on radio? Like a weird one, maybe not a threat of violence one, but a strange one.
I post a lot. There was one dude every day for probably 6 months would send a derogatory word, and every single day. And then when the Red Sox won that series this year against the Yankees, he didn't send it.
Oh.
Then I messaged him. I finally accepted it and messaged him back. I said, you got quiet. What happened?
Yeah. You were just sitting waiting.
Yeah. And then he was like, don't worry, I'll be back. And then they swept them a week later. And I haven't heard from him since. I'd say that one was funny, though.
Oh, my God. He went dark.
Dark. The Red Sox broke him.
Do you hate the Yankees more than you like the Red Sox?
Tough question.
Yeah.
No, because I would be happier seeing them win than I was when the Yankees lost last year in the World Series. So no, I'd say no, but it's up there.
How much did you sweat during that World Series last? Or I'll say to start the World Series 0-0. Because I think once it started.
Well, I tweeted too before the postseason started that I would deactivate my account if they won.
Oh, would you have done it?
100%. Because I couldn't handle that if they were coming at me.
Yeah.
I was only at like 2,000 followers then too in October. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You went from 2,000 to 22,000 since October alone. That's crazy.
If we're talking about the World Series, the 2024 World Series, what was your real life reaction when Aaron Judge gave you the greatest GIF moment ever when he dropped that ball in the fifth inning?
Dude, I'll be honest. I turned the game off when they went up like 5-0.
No.
Yeah.
I turned it back on right before the Volpe error. So I didn't even see the judge catch live.
When you saw it for the first time then?
Online?
Yeah.
I was just dying laughing. I was like, there's no way this is real.
That must be like a gift to you. Did you gain a lot of follow? When did you get this big swell? Because
what created the big jump?
Right, because you were like a couple thousand followers, but now you're like, what, 20? Yeah, 22,000 people follow you because of trolling. Like that. That's the internet, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not on Red Sox Twitter, come join us. It's a lot of fun. But what was it? Was there a tweet or a moment or a time that really kind of launched you?
Yeah, so that night that they lost, which was, I think it was October 30th. It was the day before Halloween. Mm-hmm. That night, I gained 1,000 followers.
One night?
Yeah.
Oh, so my God.
I was at like 1.8 that night, and I think I got to like right around 3,000 by the next day, by Halloween. So that was my first like really big day. And then from there, like the Devers trade, I know, probably can't talk about it on here. But like from, I think the 24 hours from the Devers trade, I think I gained like 2,200 followers. Wow. Just from.
So when bad stuff happens to the Red Sox, it's sometimes.
Because people are going to hate follow you too.
Right. Because when Devers got traded, the four of us.
That's right. Everything took off.
Yeah. Me, Gordo, Pat, and Joe. We were miserable, but then
it was overwhelming online. It's true,
right? We got a ton of engagement, so it's like it's bittersweet. Like obviously, I would trade the Devers trade for the engagement, but still, it's like
it's true. Yeah,
you get so. Do you get more engagement or extra engagement when bad stuff happens to the Red Sox too?
Yep.
Do you get more when bad stuff happens or when good stuff happens?
I'd say it's a different type. When bad stuff happens, it's Yankee fans. For bad stuff for us, and then when good stuff happens, it's Red Sox fans. So.
Yeah.
It depends, because like when Crochet gave up the home run to Judge, my whole thing is low leverage, whatever. My mentions were crazy.
Mr. Low Leverage.
But it's all people hating on me. But then if it's something like when the Red Sox swept the Yankees, then it's all the other fans coming to see. So it's different.
Mr. Low Leverage. You do take a lot of shots at the Yankees and Aaron Judge, but you really, really hate Anthony Volpe. I think a lot of Red Sox fans, he's not even good, but a lot of Red Sox fans just don't like him. Why him specifically?
They talked him up to be this amazing Derek Jeter 2.0, and I wasn't standing for it. So I was before a lot of people on the hate.
Yeah.
And now Yankee fans hate him too, so it's not like they'll be like, oh, we already hate him. You don't have to keep trolling him. And I'm like, I was here before you, so I'm going to stay.
Yeah, this is my beat. Yeah. What do you think of Spencer Jones?
Oh, he's terrible. He's super senior. He's the dude that comes back to the high school football games and you're just...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars.
Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.